B-Pod Studios.
Gasper and Murray have scorching hot takes, twisting your mind with Pat Celtics and Bays. They'll also talk Sox and out-of-town fame. Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper
and Murray.
Gasper
and Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper
and Murray.
Gasper
and Murray.
Gasper
and Murray.
Yes, that is the name of the show. Gasper Murray here on 98.5, the Sports Hub. Sitting here trying to think. I don't know when the hell the last time I actually did this show was. 2 weeks ago? 3 weeks ago? I honestly don't remember. It's been a whirlwind couple of months, what with a Bruins playoff run, the deep playoff run for the Bruins, that took me to St. Louis with Felger and Maz last weekend. Now it's Chris Gasper's turn to spend time in that barren hellhole to cover tomorrow night's Game 6 between the Bruins and the St. Louis Blues in the Stanley Cup Finals. So stepping in for Chris Gasper today, Ty Anderson, the Swiss Army Knife of 98.5, a Sports Hub. Ty, you're right. Yeah, you do spots on numerous shows. You're doing 4 hours with Toucher and Rich earlier this week. You do it all. So welcome in, pal.
Thank you very much. Happy to be here.
All right. So last time you and I talked, it was the final hour, the bonus hour of Felger and Maz, Thursday night ahead of Game 5 with the series tied 2-2. I know you were feeling a little bit of trepidation heading into that game, as was I. But now the Bruins have lost two in a row. They end up losing that game in somewhat controversial fashion.
A little bit.
Yeah, obviously with the no call on Noel Chari being tripped. And then there's the headhunting hit on Marcus Johansson, which we end up having a suspension for, even though there wasn't a penalty called. But that's the way the series has gone since Craig Berube bitched about the refs a week ago tomorrow. But some leftover thoughts from Game 5, how you're feeling about this series. Spill it out. What do you got?
So I don't want to be nervous yet because I look back at what this team has done to get to this point. But the first line has to do something. This is I'm officially nervous about this line now because they've done nothing. They don't look good. And I'm wondering how long you can really give them Game 6 before you go, okay, blender time, and you put the lines in a blender again. You put Coyle back with them or whatever the case may be. But Marchand, Bergeron, and Pastrnak have not done nearly enough for this Bruins team. I think I've said this since the beginning of the series. If they get anything out of this line, they're winning the series. I mean, it's as simple as that. Like, I don't think the Blues are that good. I still believe this. If they lose the cup to this trash team, I'm going to be so upset. I'm going to be upset for years. This isn't like losing to the Blackhawks or losing to the Lightning last year. This team sucks. They're not a fun team to watch. They're not impressive. They don't really do anything that I'm like, oh wow, that was great play there. So it really is about just that first line waking up to me.
Yeah, so I've mostly been with you with the Blues suck thing, and they're almost lucky to be here, and a lot of it had to do with Jordan Binnington helping them out since he got called up in January, and I thought he's been mostly mediocre, but I did think he was awesome in this last game on Thursday night. But what about the play of guys like Ryan O'Reilly, who I think has completely dominated in the last couple of games, and their top line has outplayed the top line. So are we, because I think you're a little bit biased too. You cover the team, obviously, and you did before you joined us here at the Sports Hub, and I'm with you. Like, I try to keep an open mind and be objective about things, but I'm pulling for the Bruins. Like, I am biased. And I do wonder sometimes, am I looking at this just too much through a Bruins fan lens, and I'm not giving the Blues enough credit? Because I think that might be seeping into some of our brains a little bit.
I think it's possible this time of year, but honestly, like, I've watched this Blues team. I was lucky enough to watch a lot of the Blues games beyond just this series, and I kept watching them waiting for the other team to take over. I kept watching that San Jose series going, okay, when is San Jose going to wake up and just steamroll this team? And I felt the same way about Winnipeg and even Dallas to a degree, so I'm not a Blues believer. I'm the first person to admit that. I will say, too, that I think my frustrations, you know, where I look at this is that I know how good the Bruins can be. I've seen it. I've seen the way they've handled teams and the way they've matched up against lines. I've seen the Bergeron line beat lines a lot better than what they're going up against right now. And I do think that when we talk about O'Reilly, I think, yes, he's playing very, very well. It cancels out if Bergeron or Krejci can pull their weight right now. I truly believe that, because then you get to the bottom of the roster, and I think that's where the Bruins have a significant advantage over St. Louis.
They're just brutes. Because I watched once, and because the Bruins ended up sweeping Carolina, there was like, okay, I'm really going to focus on this Western Conference final here against San Jose. They're brutes. They beat the hell out of them. And it's really mirrored a lot of what they've done here in the final against the Bruins. You know, in that game five, they ended up taking out Pavelski and Tomas Hertl, and they didn't even travel to game six, and you knew it was over. And like, and I thought in terms of skill, especially with the forwards, that the Sharks were going to be the better team. But they weren't. They just got the bag beat out of them, and it's kind of what's happened here in these last couple of games. So, yeah, no, I'm a bit nervous. I'm with you. Look, the resiliency thing has been real with the Bruins. They've been in this same spot before, earlier in the playoffs, obviously, in Toronto. But Toronto, I think, is a much softer team, being down 3-2. So I'd like to think that you're going to see that, again, the resiliency thing with the Bruins, and that the top line is going to wake up. But we've now got a trend here for a couple of games where this has been an inconsistent series. Now there's some consistency, and it's not going the Bruins' way. How much do you put on the non-calls? Do you think there's been too much whining? How much did that factor in on Thursday night?
So the non-call won the game for them. I refuse to look at it any other way. Yes, they had time to tie it up. Sure, you're down two goals with 8 minutes left. That's a hard ask for anybody. And I do think that's... There were four non-calls in this game. There was the Marcus Johansson headshot, which was a suspension, what wasn't a penalty somehow, despite it happening 10 feet in front of the referee. You have the Torrey Krug hit borderline. That could have been, based on what we've seen in this series, that could have been a call. You have the holding.
On Torrey Krug.
Sundqvist holding Torrey Krug, which leads to an unbelievable scoring chance for the Blues to end the second period. And then you have the Achari penalty. All four of these happen right in front of the officials. And I wouldn't be so bothered by it if the officials didn't come in swinging their penises and letting us know they weren't going to deal with Brad Marchand tonight. He does that slash, probably a penalty, maybe a penalty.
I thought that one was a crock.
And they send him off. But then they go, oh, okay, the rest of the game is fine. Now headshots are fine now. Slew foots are fine. You can't have it like that. And I was talking to some players after the game, and they mentioned that they're okay with letting them play. But you got to let them play the whole time or not at all. You can't do both. And it seems that crew was trying to control the game while also, you know, letting things go here and there.
Well, the bottom line is, and now that you've told me that too, is that it just proves that what Craig Berube did last Sunday after game three in saying, look, there's a discrepancy in penalties here, and I'm paraphrasing, but he was just bitching about the penalties, and we were the least penalized team coming into the playoffs. It's been out of whack here since this series started. And I was like, I just thought it was kind of unbecoming, especially for a guy that's seventh all-time in penalty minutes. It just sounded like whining, and I didn't think it was going to take effect. It's taken effect. It's altered the series. It blows my mind that the NHL and the officials have actually listened and paid attention to this, because it's clearly gone out of whack since in these last two games.
Yeah, it's a Jedi mind trick. It's unbelievable. I didn't realize the referees were simpletons like this. You can just be like, hey, you're doing a bad job. Like, oh, I am?
Ty, I'm convinced that they're terrified of him. The guy's a brute. He was as a player. He kind of comes off as a brute as a coach. He sits there smugly yesterday, Thursday night, rather, after they win the game, and he's asked, you know, what did you think about what Bruce Cassidy had to say and his complaining about the refs and the way that this went tonight? Do you have any? Oh, no, I have no problem with what the officials are doing. You did. You did last Sunday. It worked in your favor. He's like a supervillain. It drives me crazy. It makes me so angry that this has actually worked in their favor these last couple of games. And I just think, you know, and I argued, obviously, with, Dad yesterday and Felger and Mazden, that I think both things can be true. I think that especially the non-call on Achari altered the game, because it still would have been 1-0. The Bruins in the power play, they have 10 and change to play. I'd like to think that they tie that game. I'm going to factor in that to DeBrusk goal. We're talking about a tie game. It should have went to overtime. That would have happened. Binnington, I think, was good. That was his best game of the series, but he's still, you know, he still is waiting to falter. I believe that about Binnington. So I think we're going to be looking at a tie game there. They got jobbed on that. And then the other thing could be true in that the top line doesn't produce. Your big four of Pastrnak, Marchand, Krejci, and Bergeron have been nothing in this series, and you can be mad about that too. Both things you can be upset about.
No, absolutely. And that's sort of the problem that I think we run into here, is that it has to be one or the other. No, both things can be true. And the idea that Achari embellished, first of all... First of all, gravity is a thing. I don't know if we all know this. And not only that, well, okay, you can call the trip and the embellishment. If you want to do that, if you want to play that game, we can play that game. You know, I hate this idea that, well, it didn't play a factor. No, it did. It played a massive factor in that game. When that game should have been 1-1 after 60 minutes, and it was not, because of a penalty that they did not call, and this penalty that they did call up until that point. For the last 10 years, that play has been a penalty every single time. You saw it happen. Jake DeBrust did it in game one or game two, right off the jump, one of the first shifts. It happens. It's a penalty. Call it. Like, what are we doing here? I don't know what they're doing. They're watching these plays, and no one's arm is going up. it's mind-blowing to me. And I don't think it's a conspiracy. You have people being like, oh, they don't want the Bruins to win. No, no.
No, I don't think it's anything
it's
like that.
It's ineptitude.
Yeah.
It's incompetence. The NHL has had the worst playoff run for their officials ever. All time.
Well, Pavelski goes down in that series early with between the Sharks and the Vegas Golden Knights, and they call that penalty after the fact that gives the five-minute major to the Sharks, where they end up scoring four goals on it. And granted, you know, Vegas is complicit in that too, but that, you know, they call that because they saw the guy bleeding after the fact when it was a slight push, a ridiculous call there. You have the ridiculous hand pass in the series between the Blues and the Sharks. You have the puck off the net between the Bruins and Columbus. But you're right. Like, it's been a bad run here for the officials in the NHL playoffs.
You have the
there's more too. Those are
the offside in Game 7,
right?
With the Avalanche and the Sharks, the list goes on and on and on. How many referees have they removed from assignments this postseason? It's like four different crews that they've said you're done. It's unbelievable that it's not anything beyond these playoffs. This game has gotten way too fast for these officials, and the NHL doesn't want to admit that. They don't want it. Every year they go, our game is getting faster and more skilled. The referees stay the same. These are 30-year veterans, some of these guys, 20-year veterans. They can't keep up anymore. There's too much going on. They can't see everything. So help them out. You have the tech. You have the eyes in the sky, if you will. You can do things to help yourself, and they're not doing it. They're the only league in the world that does this. They don't use video review the right way. They use it for everything but the things they should use it for. How easy would it be to just make every goal reviewable? The NFL does every scoring play.
Well, after the hand pass thing between the Sharks and the Blues, like, that should have happened. They should have altered that between, you know, the Western Conference final ending and going into the Stanley Cup final, because you can't have that. You absolutely can't have that.
This is the same league that a day after Sean Avery screened Marty Brodeur, like that crazy thing he did back in 2008 it was, where he was just dancing in front of him. They made the Avery rule the next day. You're telling me that you couldn't do something where you said, okay, we're going to review all goals now, make sure every goal is kosher, every goal is clean here. They are making their own bed here. And then they're like, no, everything's fine. It's judgment calls. That happens. It's like, no, it shouldn't happen, though. It shouldn't happen on the biggest stage, because your league is already the fourth most popular in America. People look at that play and go, oh,
right.
This
if
league is a joke.
Yeah, if you're a casual fan and you see that, I'd be like, well, I'm not watching this. This feels rigged or stupid at the very least. You get some of the best Bruins coverage in New England, courtesy of Ty Anderson. He's in for Chris Gasper today. You talked to some of the players after the game. You're in the locker room and how they were maybe affected by that non-call on Achari. I want to get more into that and whether or not that may be they may be feeling a bit of a hangover going into Game 6 tomorrow night. You want to join the show and bitch about the Bruins? We'll be doing that a lot for the first hour of the show. We'll have the Sports Up Celtics show coming up at noon. Sounds like Kyrie's going to Brooklyn. How do you feel about that? We'll get to that all coming up. You want to join us, 617-779-0985. And on top of all of this, I'm sick. Being sick in the summer should be a crime. I got the St. Louis flu. I go to that hellhole last week. I have okay barbecue. It wasn't as good as I remembered. And I end up coming home with a sinus infection. And a couple of losses since for the Bruins. Hasn't been a good week for yours truly. Okay, enough bitching from me. 617-779-0985. You want to get on with us? It's Jim Murray and Ty Anderson. And we have Tim McCone alongside as well here on the Sports Hub.
This is Gasper and Murray.
You will listen.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Bergeron's going to lean in for the draw with 7 seconds left against O'Reilly. Bergeron wins it again. Near point, it's Krejci. Binnington the save. Rebound squirts to Steen. He'll skate it far side. And the St. Louis Blues come up with a victory in Game 5. 2-1 in regulation. It is a tainted victory for the St. Louis Blues. But they have now put themselves one win away from their first ever Stanley Cup title.
Oh, tainted win. Gasper Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Judd Surratt with his bitter and justified call at the end of Game 5. The Blues win over the Bruins in the Stanley Cup Final on Thursday night. Ty Anderson in for Chris Gasper today. The whole world's upside down. Even Chris pointed this out on Twitter. He's out in St. Louis covering the game, and you're in for Chris, when it should really be flipped. But be that as it may. Ty, you cover the Bruins, among other things, here at 98.5, the Sports Hub. You mentioned you're in the locker room after Game 5. You're always there. Been covering the team for a while. But you're in the locker room. You get the vibe that the frustrations from some of the Bruins players, or maybe collectively, from the officiating and them getting jobbed on calls, specifically the Achari trip. Do you think that may affect them going forward? Like, I think they're okay to be pissed for a night, but do you maybe get the vibe that this could be problematic going forward?
I don't get that vibe only because this team has been very good at turning the page. after a tough call, tough loss, whatever the case may be, they tend to move the page and have a good game the next night or a good shift, whatever it needs to be. I'm not worried about that. I think in the immediate aftermath, they were rightfully pissed. They don't know what to expect from these crews game to game. We've seen it now. Games 1, 2, 3. It seems that every other game is called tighter than the one before, which is frustrating for a player because, again, they want to walk the line. This is that time of year where everyone's trying to win the Stanley Cup. Everyone is trying to get the advantage they can. So teams want to know what line they can walk. They don't want to cross it, but they want to know what they can get away with. And right now, I think specifically in games 4 and 5, that Bruins team did not know what they could get away with. They were not sure which hits were going to be called against them and which were going to be let go against them. So I think games 4 and 5, with the embellishments from Tarasenko and Schwartz to get the Blues in the power play, and then the obvious misses we just talked about in game 5, they were frustrated, and rightfully so. But I have a feeling that those leaders in that room, Chara, if you can speak, Bergeron, these guys are going to say, hey, we have to turn the page. We've done this before. We've done this in rounds 1, 2, and 3. We got to do it again here now and move forward. So I'm not worried about that. And I also got a feeling, like a weird feeling, that the NHL is going to gift Boston like 5 power plays in game 6.
Just, I'll take it. I don't care if it comes off as a fake win tomorrow night. If they were able to pull it off and they get a bunch of power plays and the Blues fans are bitching, fine. I feel like they're owed it. And again, I'm biased. I have no problem with saying that. The top line, how do you, you mentioned, you know, shifting things, you know, shuffling the deck, for lack of a better term, and you even saw that in game. What would you do? So, I agreed with what Mike and Tony were saying yesterday. I don't like the thought of taking Charlie Coyle away from Marcus Johansson. I feel like those two work well together. So, but I don't know. Does that mean you maybe put Backes back in the lineup and you kind of have your enforcer role, sort of, or at least a bigger body on that top line? Like, how do you get these guys going?
So, I was thinking about this last night, where I would almost do, you know, if you want to put Backes in and roll 60, if you trust that Char is healthy enough or Grizzly can come in for Clifton, whatever it needs to be, I go, okay, well, why don't you put Coyle with Bergeron and Marchand? You put Johansson with, because I know what you're saying about breaking them up, but I thought they had their best chances when they kind of bumped those two guys up to the top 6. And then your fourth line could theoretically be Heinen, Achari, and Backes. If you want to put Backes in, you could put him in there. Heinen and Backes have experience playing together. That could be a heavier line that just hits. And Heinen is your defensive. I'm not taking him out of the lineup. He's been good defensively. If you're going to win a game 2-1, you kind of need a guy like Heinen in there just to stabilize your bottom 6. And then, you know, your third line could basically be, you know, DeBrusque, Corrali, and Nordstrom, which is a lot. I think Corrali and Nordstrom have been great. And DeBrusque, he gets a goal with those guys the other night. So maybe
finally, maybe
you stick with that. I don't, like, that's a crazy thought to me, but maybe that is your third line. And you're going to be rotating your top two lines. I mean, you're going to be playing your top two lines a lot. It's a must-win game 6. Those guys are going to get a ton of minutes. So maybe you do that. I would almost want to give Bergeron, Marchand, Pastrnak the first period to be like, you've carried us all year. Here you go. Here's your final stand. You want to go with the whimper? Go ahead. But we're not going to stand with it. So I want to give them one more period at least just to see if they can bring it all together. But they have options. They have options in game 6. And I don't think he's afraid to go to them if he has to.
What about, or, you know, even if you're not going to break up the lines a bit, but maybe changing, I don't know, the minutes? Like, that's the one thing. If guys like Johansson has been one of your better players, why, you know, it pains me to see that he's at like 16 and change or whatever it was from the other night, and you're still seeing Pastrnak and Marchand in the 20s when they're giving you essentially nothing.
Yeah, no, they're going to have to do that. They're going to have to sort of ride the hot hand here, and that's something that I think Cassidy has been pretty good at this postseason. There have been games where Corrali's led the team in 5-on-5 time on ice, and Nordstrom's been up there as well. So he has a good pulse for the team. I just think that he has to trust it. He has to trust whatever's going in game 6, and if it's not, you can't keep going to it saying, okay, these guys have been good to us all year. I think you do that off the jump, but in the second and third period, if Marchand and Bergeron don't have it, you have to go with Johansson. And I think he did that a little bit. You saw him getting double shifted late on the third period because he knew he had jump. He was the only guy who was breaking the puck out in the offensive zone cleanly. Everyone else getting stood up at the blue line or turnovers, whatever the case may be. So I think he's going to trust those guys in game six. He has to, right? I think you can't go to these guys if they're not producing. I last game was so frustrating for that top six because they kept doing the same thing over and over and over. And it was like, guys, it's not working. You got to do something else.
All right, let's go to Ryan in the truck. You're first up here with Jim Murray and Ty Anderson here this morning on 98.5 Sports Hub. Hey, Ryan.
How you doing, guys?
Good, what's up?
I called actually before game six of the Toronto series, so maybe it's a good luck trend starting. However, how frustrating was it the other night when on the B's power play, watching one guy come through the zone with three defenders on him, not even passing it? And do you think the pressure is on the Blues tomorrow? Because aren't the B's too good to lose three games in a row? Anyway, I'll hang up and listen. Thanks, guys.
On the ladder, and thanks for the call, Ryan. I'd like to think so. And, you know, I think that you saw the pressure on and how it popped for the Blues last Saturday in Game 3. Like, you know, it's their first home game that they're hosting the Stanley Cup Final. Jordan Binnington was an absolute sieve. The Bruins get up early, and they completely wilted. I think that they felt the pressure of being at home, being in their own building, what the expectations were. And you might get that a little bit tomorrow night, I hope, with the Stanley Cup in the building. You can win it at home, all that pressure. Like, I think at times Binnington has been a sieve. I think he's been overrated. He was great the last game. Credit where it's due. But I do think that you may see some of that tomorrow night.
Oh, 100%. The emotions are going to be jacked up for that team, and that's not always a great thing. I think we've seen that before, right? That, okay, well, how do they come out, right? The Carolina series, game three, Carolina came out flying, and you had to weather the storm, and you did. You ended up winning the game. The same thing in game four. I think the same thing happened in the Columbus series as well in game six. So it really is about those first 10 minutes. If they can get a goal or two against Binnington in the first 10 minutes, I love their chances.
So do I.
I think that's that. Just get on him early. And I think this St. Louis team has shown that if you get a few on them, they begin to kind of pack it in, or they fold and they quit, or they start playing stupid.
They're not built to come from behind, I don't think.
Exactly. So they're built to get a one goal lead and then start punching in the face and saying, okay, now try something.
Yeah.
So I love the idea of that. And to the caller's point, the Bruins haven't lost three games in a row since mid-March. Be 3 months, basically.
Yeah.
So they've been a pretty good team at rebounding from losses, especially in this postseason. This last loss, game five, was only their second loss all postseason following a loss. So they're 6-2 now after losses. So I want a good game from this. I want to believe that this team has at least one more miracle in them. I really want to believe that. And maybe that's me being a fan, you know, deep down. But I've seen what they've done. Must win in Toronto. Close out game in Columbus. They swept in Carolina, a building in which the Hurricanes were undefeated in to that point. So I want to think they can do it, and I want to think they can take advantage of the emotional charge that the Blues will have in the first period of that game.
Yeah, so do I. And that's, you know, I mentioned the word resiliency. It's the thing I've attached this year's Bruins team to the most since, you know, like, well, really the whole season, because they've withstood so much, whether it was injuries early to Bergeron and Chara and keeping their head above water there. And when Tuukka Rask essentially goes on this sabbatical to figure things out, whatever was going on behind the scenes, he comes back, ends up having a phenomenal season. Like, everything that they dealt with this year and how they ended up winning in game six in Columbus on the road. And it's just, there's so many things this year that's like, okay, they're going on a deep run. This is a championship caliber team. And for the way it's looked the last couple of games, okay, like, maybe we didn't give enough credit to the Blues. They're a tough team. They've been knocking them around, and I think that the Bruins have been a little bit intimidated. I still have to think deep down, and this is me, like you said, maybe I'm being too much of a Bruins honk right now. They still got that in them. As much as I said the other day, and I think you kind of agreed, a lot hinged on Game 5, who won that game. I don't know. I can't say that they're dead tomorrow night. They get up one or two early. I think they're going to come out of there with a win. We'll get Game 7 on Wednesday night, and we'll see what the hell happens.
Yeah, absolutely, and the thing that I look at too is just, you really think this team wants to go out like that? Like, that's a hard pill for that group to swallow. With Bergeron, Marchand, Krejci, Chara, I think deep down these guys know that this might be one of their last kicks at it.
Yeah,
and to go out like they did in Game 5 on home ice, and then to lose Game 6 in St. Louis, it would hurt. It would hurt a lot, and I do think that they're mindful of that. They understand what's on the line here. I go back to 2013 when they were down 4-1 of the Leafs, and they came back and won that game. And after that game, talking to a few players, they said, hey, we knew that if we lost, this may be the end of this group. And the end came eventually for that group. But they're mindful of these moments. They always say, oh, we're not focusing on that. We're not focusing on that. No, it's in their heads. And it's about how you use it. Do you let it push you, or do you let it break you? So I like to think that first line and McAvoy and Chara and Krejci, some of these other guys who have played big roles for this franchise in the last few years, they understand what's in front of them here, and they rise to the occasion.
All right, we're going to hear some of the audio from supervillain Craig Berube, who altered this series with his bitching about the officiating last Sunday. We'll hear some of his post-game stuff coming up. And I promise, right to your calls, you get one open line, you want to join us, you want to bitch about Game 5, 617-779-0985, and your expectations for Game 6 tomorrow night. Very Bruins heavy here in the first hour of Gasper and Murray. Without Chris Gasper, we have Ty Anderson in today. And Tim McCone alongside as well. He's going to get you caught up here in the Sports Hub headlines and back after this.
This is Gasper and Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Bruce Cassidy said that your comments on the officiating changed the narrative of the series, and also said the not calling a penalty on Bozak was an egregious error by the officiating crew. Your thoughts on that?
That my comments changed?
Yeah.
I don't agree with it, but it doesn't matter. I'm not here to judge your officials. And calls that could have been or couldn't have, they go both ways. I mean, there's calls the other way that could have been called and they weren't. So, I don't know what to say about that. I really don't want to say anything about it.
But you did. That is St. Louis Blues head coach Craig Berube after the Blues Game 5 win Thursday night at the Garden over the Bruins. Last Sunday, before he and his Canadian pals went to the Cardinals-Cubs game in St. Louis, that's what he did. He bitched about the officials. And then, like a smug supervillain, Thursday night after the Blues win, when his players are getting away with absolute murder, at least in two calls. Like, obviously, the Achari trip that wasn't called, and then the Ivan Barbashev hit on Johansson, which Barbashev has since been suspended for a game, but wasn't called in-game. I don't know how that makes sense, but either way, they get away with all that. And then he sits up there and says, I'm not here to judge the officials. Oh, my God. Oh, is this really? That was a tough pill to swallow, that loss. Ty Anderson in for Chris Gasper today. Gasper Murray, 98.5 of Sports Hub. The game pissed me off enough for that a-hole to sit up there afterwards. I was like, you know what you're doing, too. And I swear, I'm convinced that those of you in the position to interview him specifically, I think you're all afraid of him because of who he is, who he was as a player, seventh all-time in penalty minutes. The guy was a thug as a player, and he's kind of intimidating even now. The NHL, should be ashamed of themselves for bending over backwards to appease Craig Berube for all his bitching last Sunday, because they obviously did. It's obviously affected the last couple of games. And then for him to sit there and say, I'm not here to judge the officials, when that's what he did. Oh, and it goes back the other way. Like, it made me so crazy. This was the other thing. It was like salt in the wound Thursday night. Like, how dare you? Ugh.
Yeah, I've graduated to a hatred of
right.
this man.
Yeah.
It went from a, I don't like this guy, to a, I really hate this man.
That's how I felt about the team in general. Like, I'll find a way to not like them. I hate them. Oh, I hate them. And him too.
Yeah, it's like when you started like the time to hate the Blues thing, it was almost like mocking,
yeah.
Right? Like, we can't hate this team. They're a bunch of nobodies. Now you're like, wow, I actually hate this team. I was pissed when I saw that because I didn't stick around for that. I wanted to go up and transcribe Cassidy because he lit into the officials and Berube went after Cassidy.
It was scorched earth. It was so great.
But I was like, how did no one ask a follow-up there that like, but you did on Sunday.
Right.
Well, why is that changed now? Is it because you're winning? Now you're okay with it? So that's embarrassing for whoever was down there on that, especially all the national media. So that they are afraid of him. I think that's probably the most accurate statement there. I tend to just bounce on the unless it's Tortorella. I stick around for Tortorella because I know I'm going to get some fireworks.
Yeah.
But that's an unbelievable quote. That's just wrong. It's not true. Yes, you do criticize officials.
Yeah,
you do.
Right.
You did it quite a bit, in fact. So yeah, I don't like this man. I don't like looking at him either. Like, I've hit that point where, like, they show him, like, oh, I hate you. Like, they show his face. He's like staring out there. You're like, you're a simpleton, and I don't like you.
Let's go to Cam and Taunton on the NHL officials. Hey, Cam.
You know, you have to excuse me, guys. I'm walking down the streets of here, cars. I'm sorry.
All right.
The worst, the most offensive thing about this is, I heard Felger say this yesterday, Kelly Sutherland's the best referee in the NHL. What? This guy's Angel Hernandez of hockey. I don't know if you guys remember this, but in Game 7 in 2011 against Montreal, it was Sutherland who fell for that high sticking on James Wisniewski by Bergeron that almost got the Bruins eliminated. You're staring right at the guy and you don't call an obvious slewfoot? I mean, what is this? Why is this guy in the Stanley Cup final?
It's a good question. I think it's because Wes McCauley's injured. Like, or he was injured, and he's been kind of like the backup, I think. That's what I was reading. I think that he was injured in the prior series, and he's not around right now. But, no, he's embarrassment. And I think that that's a problem for a lot of these guys, is that If I know a referee's name, 9 times out of 10, it's for the wrong reasons.
Oh, absolutely.
So I know Sutherland, and I'm like, oh, God, this guy again? He's one of these control freaks, right? He wants to manage the game.
Yep.
He wants to hyper-manage the game, but he doesn't actually do it. He's the worst kind of ref.
And I've said that about, he mentions Adrian Hernandez. You shouldn't know the names of any officials, especially umps in baseball. You do, because they're a-holes, and they affect the game in a negative fashion. Derek and Mattapan on the St. Louis Blues. Hey, Derek.
Hey, guys. It's a great show. Thanks for having me on. You know, I'm convinced a lot of us around here are missing what's really going on. I mean, we've grossly underestimated the Blues and probably overrated the Bruins, right? I mean, the Blues have won 3 out of 4 games, and 2 of them were in the Garden. I mean, what makes people think that's going to turn around? I mean, people should be pointing their fingers more at the Bruins than one call from a referee. And then if you take a step back before the playoffs started, remember, no one thought they were going to get here. Tampa Bay fell out. Washington fell out. I mean, this is a team. I mean, they're a good team. They're not a great team. What's concerning to me is the Blues are playing better for Berube as the series goes on, and the Bruins aren't playing better for Cassidy. I'm surprised there's no comment whatsoever on Cassidy not being able to get these guys to play more aggressive. Pasternak won't go to the net. He thinks he's my boss. That's just playoff hockey. You got to go to the net, guys. The Blues are absolutely out forechecking them. It's real clear to me they're getting out-hustled, out-hit, and one of you guys is so intimidated. I mean, it's not one call from the referee, guys.
Oh, yeah, no, Derek, and that's what I said. Both things can be true. I think you're right to be upset about what happened on the no call on Achari, which I think affected the game because they go up 2-0, and then it feels like, at that point, 5-0 in that game. And the top line hasn't produced. And this is the thing, and I agree with you completely, Ty. I think most Bruins fans, or even a casual fan that's been following along here for the last couple of months in this deep playoff run, the inconsistencies of the top line and their best players of Pasternak, Marchand, Krejci, Bergeron, guys like this doing nothing, that's why they're down in this. And credit to the Blues, they're a tougher team, and they're winning the, you keep hearing the term, war of attrition. But if, I don't know, your best players were doing anything, the Bruins would be winning this series.
Might be over. If the Bruins got anything out of their top two lines, it might be over by now. I really do believe that, because I think that we always talk about Tuukka, right? And how Tuukka's the one that sort of, he has to carry them. He's done his job.
Mm-hmm.
He really has. He's
Without
done
question.
He's done his job in all 5 games, I think all postseason. And right now it's the $33 million on your top 6 that's letting him down. And that simply can't happen this time of year. You need something out of those guys. No, I love Sean Corrali. I love that line. They're not going to win you a cup. You need contributions from your best players and your power play. The 0-for-3 in the power play, that can't happen. You got to bank on at least one of them. And that's another thing that Felger said yesterday that pissed me off. This was one of the rare things where he actually got under my skin. Usually I'm like, ah, he's just being an old man. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Felger bothered me yesterday when he goes, well, you're not going to get penalties. Well, if they keep committing penalties, you should. You should keep getting power plays. That's how that works. That's how the... I once watched the Bruins kill off 7 power plays in the same game. It happens. If you keep committing penalties, it happens. So...
Well, especially when they're as egregious as the one on Achari. That's the, you know, and then you have this thing that happens with Barbashev where he's suspended, but again, no penalties called in game. Like, huh? When they're looking right at Johansson, essentially get his head taken off by the guy.
2 headshots, a grand total of 2 penalty minutes.
Yeah.
You know, between Sundqvist and Barbashev now. And I love the Blues GM coming out and saying the suspension for Barbashev was excessive.
Oh, please.
It's 1 game and it's a headshot, buddy. Like, it probably should have been 2, to be honest. If we're as serious as they claim to be about getting rid of headshots, that's probably a 2-gamer regular season.
All right, right to your calls here in our long commercial-free segment that will segue into the Sports Hub Celtic Show. Full phone lines, so I promise we'll get right to you. And I will say this, if you're feeling a little bit nervous, like I am, heading into Game 6. Some of the national talking heads that cover the NHL, they still feel pretty positive about the Bruins going into St. Louis and winning tomorrow night. We'll play that audio for you and tell you who that is. Along with your phone calls, coming up next here, it's Jim Murray and Ty Anderson here today on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
You're listening to Jasper and Murray.
Fantastic chemistry.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Are you concerned about this Bruins team bouncing back in Game 6?
No, it doesn't. They're a veteran team. They'll be focused. You saw when they finally recognized the sense of urgency after Charlie got tripped and St. Louis went ahead. They were a different club even. They turned it up another notch. And they had it going really good in the first period. They just kind of They kind of crested a little bit, and then they turned it up again. But it was too little too late for them, unfortunately, on this night.
I agree with that. I still got the Bruins in the series. I think that the Bruins in this game, they were the better team. Things went against you, and maybe it doesn't feel very fair. But they're still the better team, I believe.
Who cares about fair?
They've got to, the fair, listen, you're doing, just go and take care of your business. So hopefully they talk about this amongst each other in the room. They move on and take care of business, because they got a lot of work to do, but I think they can get it done.
All right. Brian Lawton and Rupper, Mike Rupp, former NHL player, they both believe in the Bruins heading into Game 6 in St. Louis tomorrow night. How about you? 617-779-0985. Gasper Murray, 98.5 of Sports. I've known Chris Gasper. He is out in St. Louis getting ready to cover Game 6. We have Ty Anderson in and you at 617-779-0985. Chris in Virginia, you're next up here on the Sports Hub. Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys. So Ty kind of stole my thunder a little bit right before the break, but Big Jim, I don't know how you didn't get up during the show yesterday and just beat the crap out of Felger with a moist sausage. That stuff about, what did you expect it to be, 6-1, 7? I just expect the refs to do their jobs. That's all I'm asking. Like, I see them miss calls on the Bruins. It's like, yeah, you got to call that. Like, you just got to call the calls. If you see a call, you call it. I don't care if it's Game 5 in the Stanley Cup. I don't care if it's some throwaway game up in Rochester. Just call the dang penalty.
Yeah, Chris, when they're that obvious, again, talking about the hit on Johansson, where Bobrishev has since been suspended, and Achari's trip, like, when they're that obvious, you have to put the arm in the air. You have to call it. Will they be affected with the loss of Barbashev? I mean, he's essentially like a fourth liner being taken out. He's had an okay series, but is that going to affect them all that much?
He's got a lot of jump. He's got a lot of energy. I think that that could be a big loss for that line, but how much is that line going to play? You know, they've played about 14, 15 minutes a night, so it's a fourth of the game that you have to take advantage of here if you're the Bruins, and you have to hope that your fourth line or your third line, however they're matched up, takes advantage of it. But it is a loss in the sense that I do think that he kind of reminds me a little bit of a Corrali Wagner mix. He hits everything that moves, clearly. But he can contribute. He's a pretty fast skater as well. So it's going to be a loss for them, but it's Game 6. They're going to ride their big horses, you know, the whole game probably. So it's not a huge one, but it's something that they could take advantage of if they get the right matchup.
Let's go to Mike in Woburn. I know you have thoughts on these officials. Hey, Mike.
Yeah. Hey, Ty, next time Felger pisses you off, ask him how Scott Darling is doing. Because remember, that was the guy that Felger wanted to trade for and ship Rask out of town.
He won't, remember saying that. You know him.
Oh, no. He actually remembered saying that so much, and it ticked him off so much that he accused me of saying I wanted to trade Bergeron. He went on a complete scorched earth disinformation campaign. It made him so insane. The referees, let me ask you something. If somebody headshots somebody in Game 7, you think the missed preseason games are going to be a deterrent?
No, not at all.
Game 7 is going to be Thunderdome, because there's no immediate ramifications for any of these headshots. The refs are letting St. Louis play in one of the few ways that they can beat the Bruins, and in one of the very few ways that Craig Berube can coach. You think Craig Berube knows where the left wing lock is? He thinks that's how you keep your plane from being stolen at the airport. He's a complete idiot. The guy is a moron. This is the only way he can coach a team. Completely moronic midgets like Kelly Sutherland are allowing this. And you know what? Let me ask you something. Have we heard a quote from Kelly Sutherland yet?
No, there's no.
No. Here's my other big problem with this. If Charlie McAvoy turns the puck over in front of his net and the Blues bury an overtime goal to win Game 7 and the Bruins lose, how many microphones is Charlie McAvoy going to have in his face?
Oh, yeah, no, like 50.
Yeah, Kelly Sutherland blows one of the biggest calls in Stanley Cup history, and they, like, usher him out of town like he's, like, you know, Lee Harvey Oswald trying to get him out the back before Jack Ruby can shoot him. Like, it's ridiculous the way they let these guys get away with literally ruining your team's season, ruining it without any accountability. Stephen Wonkum throws some, like, literally boilerplate, it's not our fault quote out there, and that's it? That's all we get? Kelly Sumlin goes into the referee witness protection program for the rest of the summer, forget it. This guy should be brought out in front of every bit of media and answered why he doesn't think that was a slew foot. When was his last vision appointment? What is it? What are currently his eye? What is his vision like actually at right now? Does he wear a prescription? Every question in the world should be thrown at Kelly Sumlin. There should be some responsibility for these guys, and they don't get it ever.
Thanks, Mike. Yeah, there's no checks and balances post-game for any of the officials. That is kind of nauseating. And he's right. Like, there's a bad turnover, a bad play. Players have to answer to that. They have the microphones and cameras in their faces. No pool reporters for the refs. They put out a boilerplate little, you know, message the league does after the game. And then not only that, the other insult to injury is that they whitewash what happened when they had their little clip that they put up on social media on how the Blues got their second goal. Like, hey, what happened to lead to that goal for Perron?
It's like that's what state-run news organizations do. I'm like, oh, this is North Korea now. Great. Yeah, awesome. Right. And the part that like is kind of scary is that this is the NHL, right? This is the old boys club. It's always been that way. No one wants to criticize anybody. Everyone's, hey, if you're part of the circle, you're part of the circle. Yeah. There's no accountability. The NBA does a two-minute report. The NFL makes reporters available. I mean, referees available to a pool reporter, and they answer questions. They have to answer. MLB, those guys are right there, and you've had guys take accountability. That the guy who ruined that kid's no-hitter. He came out after it, and he took ownership of it. So the NHL is the only league in the world that does not hold the referees accountable, and it's insane to me.
Let's go to Mike in Beverly with a thought on David Backes tomorrow night. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, guys. Good afternoon.
Hey.
Just want to get your opinion on David Backes. You know, my opinion is he should be in the lineup for Game 6. Two reasons. You know, the Bruins are physically getting beat on. And I think Backes brings a little spark, little toughness. He's not the greatest offensive player. But between his toughness as well as playing against his old team, I mean, they showed him up on the ninth floor the other night. And he didn't look happy. I just think he'll bring a big spark if they can dress him.
Thanks for the call, Mike. A big spark from Backes. I don't know. You have gotten jump out of him when he has been sent to the top floor. I don't know. I think he's just been in this series. You've seen some hits, but how many times have you seen him get blown up by the Blues?
Yeah, it's been a problem. I think that you can't have him playing 15 minutes a night on the Krejci line. That can't happen. Now, can you find a home for him on the fourth line and, you know, kind of jumble the rest of your bottom six? Probably. You probably could. I think Heinen's usage would speak to him being a fourth liner on this team right now. He played 8 minutes in Game 5. So you look at that, maybe that's a combination, like I said earlier, that you could re-roll with and you move Achari to center. So that's possible. I like, to your point, I love when they put him back in the lineup after scratching him. It seems that he has more juice, more jump. I do think that you would consider putting him in for a Game 6 as an emotional sort of, hey, let's do it for this guy. Let's bring this series back to Boston. You don't want to – I just think that the optics of David Backes watching from the press box, watching the team he played for 10 years win a Stanley Cup, it'd be bad. But also, there's the irony here is that the Bruins might lose a Stanley Cup because they signed David Backes, because he's not a fit in their second line like they thought he was going to be 3 years ago. And it's just – it's such an odd spot for Backes, the Bruins, Cassidy, everybody. So I'd like to see him get back in there, but in a fourth-line role. Don't put him with Krejci and DeBrusk. You want to utilize him. Play him on your fourth line as a banger. Play him 7 minutes. Say, go up, take some heads off, set the tone, do whatever you want, and go from there.
All right, we have to pause the Bruins conversation for now, but I promise we'll be back to that in an hour. We are still contractually obligated to do the Sports Up Celtics show throughout the draft. And there are things to talk about with this Celtics team, specifically when it comes to Kyrie Irving, who sounds like he's no longer going to be a member of the Boston Celtics. We'll get to that coming up right after the Sports Hub headlines here with Tim McCone. It is 98.5 Sports Hub with Jim Murray and Ty Anderson this afternoon.